participation in this very sweet occasion that she led us to me. In speaking on Radhastami, Srila Prabhupada would mention Krishna consciousness is a great science. And he beseeched us, please, on this day especially, try to understand who is Srimati Radharani. A proper approach to that topic necessitates some understanding of what is actual pure love. Jagadananda Pandit, who is Satyabhama of Krishna Leela, wrote in his Prem Vivart, a work which Srila Prabhupada says you have to read if you want to understand what true love is. And he encapsulates the topic in one verse. Everyone is talking love, love, love. And yet, unless they understand the nature of the love of Vrindavan, they won't have a comprehensive understanding. And the nature of that love is described in elaborate theological presentation in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was born right here on the shore of Radhakund, compiled by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who lived in the next bhajan kutir to Raghunath Das Goswami, who is the source of his information and insight. In that Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains and Srila Prabhupada elaborates the nature of Radha and Krishna's love. Or just take the gopis in general, who out of their most exquisite love for Krishna dress themselves and decorate themselves and prepare themselves to bring pleasure to their beloved Lord Sri Krishna. And when he sees them appearing so beautiful, and that beauty is an outer manifestation of love in their hearts, when Krishna sees that, he becomes more beautiful. When they see that, they become more beautiful. Back and forth, forever increasing. And the nature of the gopis' love for Krishna is the most selfless, sacrificial form of affection anywhere in the creation. And the source, the Ladini Shakti personified, who took birth here just 41 minutes ago, when we're celebrating for the 5,000th time her 14th birthday, Srila Prabhupada explains in those purports in Adi 5 the nature of the Ladini Shakti, personified and originating in Srimati Radharani, but also deposited in the hearts of all living entities. Otherwise, how can we bring pleasure to Krishna if the Ladini Shakti, along with the Lord himself, are not present in our hearts? And it requires the original Ladini Shakti, personified in Srimati Radharani, to unlock the core of our hearts. And like a loving, tender mother, gently awaken our souls from their comatose state. Access to that Ladini Shakti, that love in our hearts, depends on Krishna's divine grace. And that grace, that compassion, is personified in its source, which is none other than Srimati Radharani. She holds the key to the deepest mysteries of our soul and the greatest potential of our heart's aspiration. Radha and Krishna are the absolute truth, who have divided into male and female for the expression of the Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti is what gives Krishna pleasure and the devotees pleasure and nourishes the devotees. That loving exchange between Radha and Krishna reveals the very deepest theological science. Krishna is the object of all love. Vishaya. Radha is the source, the shelter, the ultimate abode of that love, the Ashraya Vigraha. And the highest theistic revelation is found in their pastimes of love. And the perfection of life for the jiva is to participate in that loving exchange of Vrindavan, which is what we're all doing when we come together to chant Hare Krishna. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. That love of Vrindavan is fully contained and expressed in Harinam Sankirtan. Wherein the fullest satisfaction for the soul is ever awaiting and expanding and uniting Radha and Krishna and all their parts and parcels in eternal loving communion. The appearance of Srimati Radharani is similar to that of Krishna in the unlimited dynamics and perspectives and behind-the-scenes events, all orchestrating the actual appearance itself. And it's important to understand the nature. Krishna says, he who understands the nature of my divine appearance in this world, in truth, never takes his birth again. So, all attempts to comprehend or understand or conceptualize the absolute truth lead in one of two basic directions. There is the ascending process, which means by our own limited and defective and mundane resources, try to reach the absolute. And we ascend by our own speculation, imagination, idolatry. And are bereft of a proper understanding. The descending process means revelation. In response to our loving hearts raised up in prayer and gratitude, chanting the holy names for the pleasure of Lord Gauranga, the grace and compassion and love for Krishna descend in return. And by the effect of parampara, we have, by which it's our only means to reach Krishna. We are tiny, insignificant jivas, a spark of Krishna's splendor. How much love can we offer to Krishna? And how much of his grace can we assimilate and reciprocate in return? It's infinitesimal, it's insignificant. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada emphasized on Radhastami, don't offer your flower to Krishna, you'll be the loser. Place it in the hands of Srimati Radharani and ask her, beseech her, O Jagannatha, universal mother of devotion and love, please offer this flower to Krishna. Please remember me to your Krishna. Please tell about me to your Krishna, because Krishna is yours. And then Srila Prabhupada had a dialogue with himself about the nature of this offering. You offer your flower to Radha with that prayer, and then she offers it on our behalf to Krishna and tells him, this devotee has brought this flower for you. Please accept it because he's better than me. And then Krishna has to accept, because he cannot refuse the love of Srimati Radharani. Furthermore, Srila Prabhupada used the analogy of the descending process as like a mango tree, where there's somebody up in the tree picking the fruit and handing it down from one hand to another until it reaches the ground, so it doesn't just fall and splatter. And he also mentioned that the fruit becomes sweeter as it descends because of the touch of Shuka, the narrator of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shuka, Srimati Radharani's parrot, who by his touch makes the fruit sweeter. That touch is enhanced by every acharya in the line of Guru Parampara. Because as our prayers, as our service, as our chanting rises up, and we should always remember that whether we're on the altar serving the deities or chanting Hare Krishna, we must proceed through our spiritual master, who takes our offering, enriches it with his love and devotion as an offering to his guru, and upward through the line of disciplic succession, our devotion is enhanced at every touch until it reaches the lotus hands of Srimati Radharani, who offers to Krishna. And then the grace from the ocean of compassion descends in reciprocation, once again enhanced, enriched, imbued with the love and devotion and compassion of every acharya in the line as the blessings descend. And that's the dynamics of the Ladini Shakti, which is our only means to offer pleasure to Krishna. And that Ladini Shakti, personified in Srimati Radharani, is the source of pleasure for Krishna. And that Ladini Shakti descending from, in reciprocation from Krishna, nourishes the devotees, gives pleasure to Krishna, and it nourishes the devotees in return. It was this time of year, 1965, a lone, gentle voice from the mid-Atlantic rose up as an invocation for the blessings in that flood of love of God which is about to reach the western shores of this country. Srila Prabhupada, in his prayer to Lord Krishna, calls out with the refrain, "O brothers, you will receive your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you." And then he offered his prayer to his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, unparalleled in his devotion to the son of Mother Sachi, who had this desire that this movement travel to the West. And then Srila Prabhupada writes that by his order, this will be successful, and I'm completely dependent on his grace so far from home. And when the holy name rises up from every sea, ocean, lake, river, stream, and brook, every city, town, and village, when the holy name resounds, and all these sinful, miserable living entities become happy, then the true Vaishnava's desire is fulfilled. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur expressed in his Radhastikam that he who has failed to carefully worship the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, which are the abode of all auspiciousness, who has failed to take shelter in that transcendental abode named Braja, decorated with a golden lotus named Radha, he who has failed to associate with the devotees of Srimati Radharani, whose dedication to her is extremely deep and sweet, how will such a person ever understand the nature of the mellows of devotional service? Please try to understand this fact with attention. Srimati Radharani is the exemplary guru of ecstatic love, and that love of Radha Krishna is meant to be contemplated and cherished. He who carefully cherishes the worship of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani naturally thereby attains Krishna, because the Vedic scriptures declare that Krishna is the property of the maidservants of Srimati Radharani. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur concludes his 8 verses. "Therefore, abandoning wealth and followers, prestige, wife, children, friends, relatives," that doesn't apply to devotees, "one should simply absorb himself in the sweetness of worship of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani." This is Bhaktivinoda's solemn declaration. And thus he concludes his Radhastikam. He established the blueprint by which the compassion of Lord Gauranga would travel to the West. And so much of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's inspiration came from his guru, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, in whom his kirtan, describing Raghunath Das Goswami's feelings of separation from Radha here on the bank of Radhakund, which was complementary to Lord Gauranga and Puri experiencing and revealing the nature of Radha's separation from Krishna. It was that separation from Radha, which became a predominant feature in Raghunath Das Goswami, who inspired Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to take that vow to attract the compassion and empowerment needed to fulfill this mission, that vow of chanting a billion names at Vrajapatna, Chandrasekhar's house in Navadvip Dham. Now that's a different island from where Radhakund appears in Navadvip, but nobody knows where the actual appearance of Radhakund and Chamakund is in Navadvip. Somewhere on Ritudvip, yet unmanifest. And still, while Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sat in that thatch hut using an umbrella to shield him from the rain coming through the thatch roof, chanting a billion names, convinced he was on the shore of Radhakund, and nobody else could see it. And therefore, his followers excavated Radhakund and Chamakund and made a little Govardhan hill with a little moon tower, just so that everybody else could see what he was experiencing. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati revealed that Vaishnav means a worshipper of Vishnu. Worshipper of Krishna is called Karshana. And Gaudiya means those who follow in the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, who naturally love Krishna because she does. And Srila Prabhupada received that amongst his final instructions from his Guru Maharaj on the bank of Radhakund. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told Srila Prabhupada, or he repeated what he had many times before, there will be fire in the mission, and if you ever get money, print books. The order he took as his life and soul, as the means of distributing the compassion of Lord Gauranga, which is the grace of Srimati Radharani. Her birth is described by Rupa Goswami in the Lita Madhava. In the information, Purnamasi shared only with Mother Jashoda and Rohini. Mother Kirtide was not aware of the behind-the-scenes events in her daughter's birth. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that Vindhya Parva, the personification of the Vindhya mountains, was jealous of the Himalayas, who had a daughter, Parvati, who attracted for the Himalayas the son-in-law being Lord Shiva. Vindhya Parvat performed great austerities to please Lord Brahma and asked him, when Brahma appeared to Vindhya Parvat, he beseeched the blessing of a daughter who's greater than the daughter of the Himalayas, Parvati, to attract a husband who is greater than Lord Shiva. And Brahma blessed him, Tatashtu it shall be, which made Vindhya very happy, but Brahma was distressed. What did I just say? I blessed you with a daughter who could attract a husband greater than Lord Shiva. What did I just say? What came over me? And then he contemplated, well, actually that makes sense, because Krishna is about to appear in this world. And his consort can come through the Vindhya Mountains. So blessed by Brahma, Vindhya gave birth, or his wife gave birth, to twins. And while they were performing the name-giving ceremony, right in the middle of the sacrifice, Putana swooped down from the sky, grabbed the babies, and flew off, because she was under the command of Kamsa, who had his agents combing the countryside, killing all baby male children and kidnapping the females. So when Putana flew off with who was ultimately Radha and Chandravali, the brahmanas were enraged. They chanted the mantras to kill a witch, and she became weaker and weaker, dropped one of the girls into the river that flows into the kingdom of Vidarbha, where she was adopted by King Bhishmaka. And then later, when Jambavan, who was always traveling from Vindhya to Govardhan back and forth, flying bear. So he took the baby of King Bhishmaka and delivered her to Raja, and the other girl fell into Jamuna and flowed downstream to be retrieved by Purnamasi, who gave her to Mukara and told her she will be the daughter of your son-in-law, so take good care of her. Simultaneously, Banu, who is Surya, worshipped Krishna for the blessing of having Gokuleshwara as his daughter, for which he became Vishvanu Maharaj, who was so righteous in his performance of hundreds of Rajasuya sacrifices. And when he married Kirtida, they were very much like Nanda and Yashoda in the sense that until their elderly years, they had no children. Despite performance of yajnas and charities and pujas and pilgrimages with the hope to have a daughter, which was not fulfilled, all to no avail. So Kirtida suggested to King Vishvamana to worship Katyayani, which he did at the foot of Govardhan Hill, where in time he heard that oracle speaking, accept Harinam, take initiation, and by the purificatory effects of the holy name, your desires will be fulfilled. So King Vishvamana went to Kratu Muni, residing on Govardhan Hill, begged him initiation, and Kratu Muni gave him the Hare Krishna mantra, which he continued to chant there at the foot of Govardhan Hill until Katyayani appeared to him and asked, what benediction do you desire? And he said, your darshan is sufficient and fulfills all my desires. And she knew there was more in her heart. So he told her, King Vishvamana told Katyayani, that you know the inner desires of my heart, which was to have a daughter who would be the consort of Lord Krishna. Katyayani gave him a golden oval box, which he kept with great care and attention until today, when the box opened and a beautiful champak flower blossomed from within in the form of Srimati Radharani. Meanwhile, Narada Muni was in Goloka, and it seemed to him like all the pastimes were quite pale. And he understood that's because Krishna has descended to Gokul. So he came to the palace of Nanda Maharaj to see baby Krishna. And he blessed Nanda Maharaj that no one knows the extent of the glory of your son Shiva and Brahma pursue love for him as their ultimate aspiration. So take good care of him. Then Narada Muni began visiting all the cowherd men, knowing that Gokuleshwari would be born in a cowherd family. He eventually came to King Vrishabhanu's palace, and the king worshipped Narada Muni, placed him on his own throne, washed his lotus feet, sprinkled it on his family members, and asked, "How can I serve you?" And Narada said, "I have come to see if you have children." And then he brought out Sri Dhamma. And Narada Muni was so impressed with the qualities of Sri Dhamma, he told King Vrishabhanu that your son will be a dear friend of Krishna and Balaram. He will play with them day and night, so take good care of him. But then he was waiting. And then when he started to leave, and King Vrishabhanu saw that Narada was a little dissatisfied, and he knew why. So he admitted, "Well, I do have a daughter, but she appears to be deaf, dumb, and blind. She won't open her eyes. She won't respond to any sight or sound. So please bless her that she become normal." So I said, "Let me see her." So they brought out the little baby, and Narada Muni immediately took her in his lap, at which instant he too became deaf, dumb, and blind, stunned, in ecstasy. And as he began to recover, he was contemplating, "I have seen the beauty of Parvati and Lakshmi, and even Mohini Murti. But the beauty of those girls cannot compare to the shadow of this girl, whose darshan is infusing me with such enriched love for Krishna." And then he told King Vrishabhanu, "I need to be alone with your daughter." So he took her into a private room and closed the door, and then he began offering his prayers, during which time the little baby revealed her Kaishori form with her sakis, and Narada fainted. And the sakis washed her lotus feet, sprinkled it on Narada's head, and he was infused with such devotion, offering obeisances and prayers with great exultation, that King Vrishabhanu could hear it in the next room. And he came to the door and says, "Oh Muni, why are you glorifying my daughter?" And he said, "Because all is well with my soul." And then he left. No, one thing before he left, he said, "All you have to do is hold a festival, and she'll come to life, so to speak." Narada Muni knew that the first one King Vrishabhanu would invite would be Nanda Maharaj, who would come with Yashoda and Krishna. And they did. And while Yashoda and Kirtita were talking, little Krishna crawled over to Radha's crib, lifted himself up the side, and Krishna, who is decorated with all these beautiful facial embellishments by Mother Yashoda, embellishments which are also fragrant, when she caught the scent of Krishna, her lotus eyes fluttered, and she began to communicate very effectively. And everyone was so happy to see. And the reason is that when the demigods appealed to Krishna to descend to this world, and he agreed, "I'll go." And then Srimati Radharani began crying. How can I live without you? And he said, well, you'll come with me. She said, but how can I live in a world where there's no shade of Govardhan, forest, or Vrindavan, or flow of Jamuna? How could I live? And he said, well, just look down. And she looked down, and there was this golden lotus in Bharadvarsha. And it was as if it was tied with a blue ribbon, which was Jamuna, at an elevated region rising above Goloka. And Krishna said, the Dham is already waiting for us. So they came together. And she did not want to see anything of this world until she first beheld the sight of Krishna's beauty. And that's why she pretended to be deaf, dumb, and blind, so to speak. Now, as children, all the gopis were married. And it happened during the year of the extended Brahma Vimohan Lila, when Krishna expanded as all the cowherd boys. He also told Narada Muni, he told Nanda Maharaj, as did Purnamasi, Nanda, this would be a good year to get all those girls married. So they all married Krishna in the form of his imitation of all the cowherd boys who had been abducted by Brahma. So that lasted for a year, after which Abhimanyu returned and Krishna resumed his one form. And Abhimanyu from then on served to protect and enhance Srimati Radharani's Parakya Bhav with Krishna. After which, Jatila, and don't ever develop a bad attitude towards any of these devotees or any devotees, because Jatila, Katila, Abhimanyu serve Radha's pleasure in Parakya Bhav by the service of adversaries. So, after the year was over, Jatila noticed, and she told her daughter, Katila, that our daughter-in-law's affection for Krishna is increasing daily. And this will bring shame to our family, which is so conservative, that the thought of a paramour would mean banishment from the family, from the village, from the society. So Jatila told Katila that I forbid Radha from going to Pavan Sarovara to cook for Krishna, which was Durvasa Muni's blessing that she do that. And everybody knew that that was the blessing that made Krishna invincible to all the demons who came not only to Braj, but as they heard of his later conquests in Mathura and Dwarka, the Brijvasis were convinced that Krishna continues to be victorious against all opposition, and he's invincible, and he's immortal, only because of Radha's cooking, which was Durvasa Muni's blessing, that whatever she cooked would not only be more flavorful than nectar, but imbue the recipient of her cooking with long life and great power and opulence and victory. So when Jatila told Katila that we can't let her go there to cook anymore for Krishna, nor can we allow her to go to the forest for Surya Puja, because we all know who she was worshipping in the form of Surya, which was Krishna. So she told Katila, tell Mother Jashoda that Radha will not be coming to cook for him anymore. If she wants to offer him Radha's cooking, she'll have to send Dhanishta to Abhimanyu's house. And then she can take it to Krishna from there. And if Mother Yashoda insists and persists, tell her, well, then they will all leave Vrindavan. So when Radha heard that she was banned from cooking for Krishna, she became so overwhelmed with the fire of separation that she fell unconscious on the floor. And her friends would prepare a flower bed to cool off the fever, and her touch would turn the lotus flowers into ashes. And they put chandan on her forehead and just immediately dry. And then Dhanishta came and told the family that Krishna just lost his appetite. Rohini is cooking for him, but he can't even finish his plate. So then Dhanishta told Radha, here's the solution. Just pretend that you have been bitten by a poisonous serpent, and I'll bring a snake charmer who will be female and of dark complexion. And meanwhile, she told Krishna to disguise himself as Vidyavali, Nandamukhi's cousin, who happened to be visiting at the time. So then Vishakha came running hysterically to Mother Kirtida and told her, your daughter has been bitten by a serpent. She's convulsing in great agony on the floor. And they came to see, and it was true. And she said, call the doctor. And Radha said, don't bring any male doctor. And then Jatila said, this is a critical time. Rules and regulations are secondary. Don't be fanatical. And she said, do not bring any male doctor. And then the neighbors suggested, well, why don't you just bring Krishna? Because he brought all the gopas back from the dead when they were killed by Kaliya's poison. And then Radha said, he's the source of this whole controversy. Don't bring him. And then Purnamasi, they asked Purnamasi, do you know the mantras for counteracting snake bite? She said, I don't know, maybe my daughter. She asked Nandamukhi, I don't know, but Vidyavali probably does. So they asked Vidyavali, she said, yes, I know. I know the mantras. So they asked her, can you come to Abhimanyu's house to revive Radha from the poison of the serpent's bite? And Vidyavali said, well, I'm really reluctant to travel there because I've heard that Krishna roams around in the shadows at night and I might get a bad reputation. So she said, well, just ask Nandamukhi to go with you for protection. So they came. Jatila and Abhimanyu both washed the lotus feet of Vidyavali. And it was curious because Purnamasi and Nandamukhi were a fair complexion, but their cousin Vidyavali was of a dark complexion. And yet nobody suspected by the influence of Yoga Maya. So then Vidyavali said, I'll have to examine Radha and see what is the extent of the movement of the poison. So she removed the cloth and checked, and she told the family that the poison's spreading rapidly. It's already reached her heart, and this is a desperate situation. So she chanted all the mantras to counteract snake bite, but they didn't work. So then Vidyavali said, well, there's another strategy, that I'll chew betel and place it in her mouth, and that might revive her. And that didn't work. So then she said, Vidyavali said, there's one last resort. There is one very powerful mantra which will evoke the serpent himself. So I need to be alone with this girl in a secluded place. because this is going to be very treacherous. So Vidyavali went in the room with Radha. As the family listened at the door in great suspense until they heard an imaginary dialogue. They heard Vidyavali say, "O king of the snakes, where did you come from and why?" And then they heard the serpent say, "I come from Kashi." Said, "But why?" And the serpent's voice said, "I have come to kill Abhimanyu." And Vidyavali said, "Well, then why did you bite Radha if you want to kill Abhimanyu?" And then they heard the serpent's voice say, "Because Abhimanyu is invincible, because he eats Radha's cooking, and Durvasa Muni's blessing protects him. So therefore, I bit Radha so that she'll die, because then Abhimanyu will not want to live. And my real final intention is to haunt and torture Jatila until she dies." And Vidyavali said, "Why? What made you like this?" And then the voice of the serpent said, "My master, Durvasa, who is an expansion of Lord Shiva, who worships the son of Nanda Maharaj as his Ishtadev, is insulted that Jatila is making false accusations about Radha and Krishna's relationship. And she's preventing him to go to cook for Krishna. And this has angered my master, Lord Shiva." And then hearing that, Jatila cried out, "I'll never again impede her to going to Pavan Sarovar to cook for Krishna. She can go wherever and whenever she likes." And then they heard the voice of the serpent say, "You must promise and prove it by feeding Durvasa, which will please Lord Shiva. And then I'll return to Kailash from where I came. But if you break your promise, then I will return to destroy your whole family." Then the conversation stopped. Vidyavali came out of the room and said, "I sent the serpent back from where he came, and Radha is now cured." And then everyone offered their obeisances to Vidyavali. And Jatila wanted to offer charity. So she told Radha, give your necklace to Vidyavali. No, give all your ornaments to Vidyavali, because Kirtita and Mother Yashoda will surely replace them. So Radha was so happy to be able to personally decorate Vidyavali, because she was the only one who could see that she was actually Krishna in disguise. And she was also happy that she could serve Krishna while all her family members watched and appreciated her service for a change. So by this time it's past midnight, Vidyavali asks Jatila, "Can I go home now?" And Jatila says, "I wouldn't recommend that, because at this hour, Krishna is roaming in the shadows, and he might destroy your reputation. So why don't you and Nandamukhi just sleep here tonight? Vidyavali, if you sleep at Radha's side, then I'll feel confident that she's actually fully cured and there will be no relapse." So Vidyavali says, "Yes, I will offer that service." And then they enjoyed for the whole rest of the night. And that was reciprocal, because Krishna was also bitten by a serpent, the same serpent of separation. And he was unconscious. And it appeared that the poison was rising. So everyone was frantic. How to save Krishna's life? And nobody could offer any hope until Purnamasi and Gargamuni discussed the matter and concluded that if there is one fully chaste girl in Braj and she brings water from Jamuna in a pot with 100 holes carried on her head and delivers that to Nanda Maharaj, then Krishna will be cured of the poison of the snake bite. So they went to Jutila and Kutila and said, you're the most chaste ladies in Braj. They said, yes, we are. We can offer this service. So Kutila, with great confidence, took the pot with 100 holes, filled it with Jamuna water, very confidently raised it up, and all the water just gushed out the 100 holes, and everybody started laughing. What kind of chaste lady are you? Now, Jatila observed the whole thing, so she disappeared. And as an experiment, she took a pot with 50 holes and filled it with Jamuna water, and when she lifted it, it all rushed out. So she went into hiding. So everyone is desperate. Krishna's life is in peril. He can only be saved by water delivered by one chaste lady, which means she's totally dedicated to her beloved in mind, word, and deed. So then they realized, we're going to have to ask Srimati Radharani. They appealed to her. Can you bring the water to save Krishna's life? And she said, everyone's accusing me of being unchaste. I won't participate in this. Especially Jatila and Kutila, they accused me of being unchaste. Now, if they were to come to me and insist that I deliver the water, then I'll consider. So Jatila and Kutila came. First they had to find Jatila, she was still hiding. They found her. They brought her and Kutila, and they begged Srimati Radharani, can you bring the water to save Krishna's life? And she said no. And they begged her, and they implored her, and she said, no, I won't do it. Then Purnamasi told Jatila and Kutila, it's your duty to convince her to bring the water. Otherwise, Krishna will die. Then Dushoda will die. Then Nanda will die. And then I'll die, Purnamasi said. And you, Jatila and Kutila, will be responsible for the whole ghastly scene. So they came. They asked her nicely. They begged, they pleaded, and still Radha refused. They fell at her lotus feet. Still she refused. Only when Lalita and Vishakha requested her, can you bring the water to save Krishna's life, did she agree. She took the pot with 100 holes, filled it with water, raised it on top of her head, and as graceful as a regal swan, she delivered the water to Nanda Maharaj without spilling so much as a drop. He gave it to Gargamuni. He sprinkled it upon Krishna, and Krishna was cured of the poison of the snake bite. So, Srila Prabhupada told us on Radhastami that Radha is Hari Priya, and the love of Radha and Krishna is a great science, which can be approached by developing feelings of separation from Krishna, like the six Goswamis. Hey Radhe, brother Devike, Chalavite, hey Nanda Shunukuta, Shri Govardhana Kapa Padabhale, Kalindi Vane Kuta. Hey Radhe, hey Krishna, where are you? At the foot of Govardhan, or the bank of Jamuna? It's a paradox that the Brijabasi's utmost selfless love, without any tinge for their own pleasure, for the service of Krishna, in response to which unlimited pleasure is naturally imposed upon them. Because Krishna's love seeks the pleasure of his servants. Krishna's first expansion for the sake of loving pastimes is Srimati Radharani. She expands into unlimited gopis, lakshmis, devis, because variety is the mother of enjoyment for Krishna and for us. So, as Srila Prabhupada said, in conclusion, don't make your offerings to Krishna, you'll be the loser. Place the flower in Srimati Radharani's hand, and she says, oh, you brought this for my Krishna? Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Balam Tayam Yome Bhakti Prayachati. We also can't approach Radha directly. We cannot approach previous acharyas directly. We approach through our individual gurus. They take our insignificant infinitesimal offerings of love, infuse it with their devotion, which they deliver to their guru, who offers to his guru, and our insignificant infinitesimal offerings of love are enhanced by the touch of all the previous acharyas, who ultimately deliver that offering to the hand of Srimati Radharani. She offers to Krishna, and he has to accept, because it's her appeal, please accept this devotee. He's better than me. And Srila Prabhupada said, however fool and rascal I may be, then Krishna has to accept, because it's Radha's request. And then, when the ocean of compassion descends through the parampara, enriched by the touch of every acharya in the line, descending from the original guru, Srimati Radharani, then so much of Krishna's compassion we can assimilate in return, in reciprocation for our devotion. At Srila Prabhupada's initiation, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati gave him one instruction. Don't try to see Krishna. Serve in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. And when he comes to see you, then he will have his darshan. So Srila Prabhupada concluded his Radhastami lecture. If we offer our devotion to Radha, then everything becomes a success. Everything becomes auspicious. So therefore, offer Pushpanjali to Radha, worship Radha and Krishna, and be happy. And he also said that because she's a mother, she doesn't want to see the devotees go hungry. So we fast for only half the day. at which time we will now receive the remnants of her cooking for Krishna. Thank you very much. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Gaura Premanandini.
Hari Hari Bol.